What's up, boys and girls? It is week 16 in the NFL as we prepare for another, no doubt, exciting, entertaining, and probably gut-wrenching, stressful week 16 weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Thursday. I mean, the NFL is eating up every chance that it can to get the most viewers that it can, and God bless them, because you know we're going to be watching, including on Christmas. So we have a lot to talk about on today's show. I am back now for the second week in a row to go over what I'm considering to be some of my top options for circa picks this week in week 16. If you don't know me, my name is Chris R. Farley, fresh off a third quarter circa contest win, $150,000, a two-time circa contest winner in the last 3 years. Not a lot of people in the betting community can say that, so I'm very proud of that, and I'm very grateful for that, very humbled by that too, because as I said on last week's podcast, there's a little bit of luck involved every time that happens. There's a lot of supporting cast members every time that happens too, right? The mentors throughout the years, my wife, just anybody who supported me. It's all in the mental space and the spiritual space that we need to be in the right mindset, in my opinion, to win any kind of contest like that, let alone go 19-1 through 4 weeks, which is, who knows? I mean, I may never do that again, right? So still very excited. Just got back from Vegas with the wife. It was a great time, but it's also fast-paced, right? You hear music in your head bouncing off your brain the whole time you're there. So I wouldn't call it restful. Looking forward to a restful Christmas holiday coming up. Happy holidays to all of you. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. And again, in case you all don't know, I've been doing this for 5 years, professional bettor out there on the betting scene. Started at a little site called The Odds Breakers, and I've been all over on many different programs and websites and shows, from VSiN to the 33rd team to sports wagers. To now, you can catch my free picks every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at sportmoney.com. They have a great newsletter that is full free Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Or you can pay, I think it's like $5 or less to subscribe every month. That's, again, $5 or less every month. I forget, it's like $3, $5, something like that. And you get picks from the writers over there at sportmoney.com every single day. Between 20 and 30 free picks every single day. Not bad value, I would say. And these are experienced winning handicappers, winning bettors who are writing over there at Sport Money. You can also catch all my takes on the Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night NFL games at PicksWise. And I am on a show with the great Lou Finicaro, brought to you by sportsbet.io at Clubhouse TV. If you look up, Clubhouse TV on X, you'll see our shows. I retweet them every week, where I speak with Lou Finicaro about the weekly NFL slate, and always learning a lot from him, as well as a lot of these mentors that I have in the space. But I just love Lou's perspective and the way that he approaches it. So it's great conversation about succeeding in the realm of sports betting every single week in the NFL and with other sports as well, right? A lot of these methodologies carry over. So before I get to my week 16 circa angles, my circa thoughts, the games, the teams, the sides, the spreads, whatever you want to say, that I'm looking at this week for week 16, as always, I just like to give a little bit of fodder, some conversation about some other aspects to betting or the NFL. And I'll start with this one. This is something I talked about a lot in previous gigs. Like, I wrote about it at Sports Wagers and the 33rd team. You might have heard me talk about it before if you're a consistent listener of this show, laying the points with Farley Bets, because we're about to lay a very important point. If you want to win an NFL contest, or if you want to win even in just your NFL bets, which most of us obviously want to win, maybe there are reasons why you want to lose. Maybe you're trying to get more permissions at a sports book, so they'll let you put down bigger bets or something. Most of us want to win, right? But speaking to a wider audience, so this is not just about contests, but I would say especially when you have to select so few games every week like you have to do in a contest, I would say it's even more important, even more relevant to what I'm about to say. But make sure that as micro as you can get in this industry in sports, right? In the NFL, you can look at every single play, every single stat of every single player on that team, every single situation that that player has been in and then what stats they produce, it can just get very granular. And along with the granular comes fantasy sports, right? Fantasy football is obviously huge in the world, in America, especially. I think that's a mistake when you get heavily involved in the micro, which is more fantasy, right? Like you kind of need the micro side of analysis to succeed in fantasy sports and fantasy contests because you need to know the situation, right? Like how well does a Tua do in cold weather? Or how well does a certain wide receiver do in a dome against a certain type of defense, right? Like these are the micro things that matter in fantasy sports and fantasy betting, prop betting. And they might matter for other things too. Probably matters more for totals as well. But I'm here to make the argument that when you're considering spreads, sides, teasers, parlays on teams, don't get too invested. In fact, I don't get invested at all in the micro. And again, like I said last week, it doesn't mean that I'm some idiot who doesn't like look at data or, you know, digest data sets and like what they mean situationally. Of course, you have to do that in betting to understand these teams and players. But I'm suggesting that if you look at the macro perspective, more than likely the macro will get you to more wins. The macro will get you to better positions in your contests. And most importantly, you won't get sidetracked or away from your analysis by getting too involved in the granular. Because when we talk about things that are granular, it immediately has an effect like on your psyche, right? Like if I feel very good, for example, about the Seattle Seahawks this weekend, which I do. That's a play that I'll talk about a little bit more. But Seattle at home plus three against a team like the Vikings, there might be a lot of micro stats that are suggesting that the Vikings could be an even bigger favorite and that the Vikings and their players and the matchups are going to expose Seattle. But that's discounting the more important, in my opinion, macro perspectives that we should be considering in that game, right? When you look back at Minnesota's previous performances lately, when you look back at Seattle's performances lately and the position that they're in fighting for a playoff spot in the NFC West. In my opinion, the macro stuff matters more, it's heavier, and when it comes to spread betting, it has a larger impact on whether you're going to win or lose. Whether a certain running back succeeds on third downs in the rain is not going to matter as much in the spread. It might matter overall. Again, you might think it has an effect on the spread, and maybe ultimately it did. But more often than not, those very, very small details of a game that are very, very needed for fantasy and prop betting, I would steer clear of that because it's probably going to take you away from the analysis that you already have in your head that because you already know it, right? Like situationally, who these teams are at this point. We're 16 weeks into this thing. We know who these teams are. We don't have to re-identify them. Like, you know, we don't have to like take a step back and re-examine who the Seattle Seahawks and Minnesota Vikings are. We know who they are. Right. So when you start to look a little too deeply under the microscope at small, finer details, you are going to confuse your own brain, right? Overanalysis, analysis paralysis, as they say. And there are very, very sharp dudes in this industry who they rely on their models. Their models are very good for the most part. But I would suggest that those who stick to their models religiously are going to have a very hard time going on the kind of streak that I just went on. Along with some luck, right? There's some luck. I'm not just patting myself on the back here. There's some luck involved, but it's going to be tough, right? Because if you're that rigid, especially that rigid to the micro stats, the smaller, finer details in between each play, then you're not going to clearly see the bigger picture and the things that matter more that aren't as granular. Hopefully that makes sense, but that has served me very well. Let's get to week 16 in the NFL. I'm going to go over every single game, some longer form than others, because I'm just going to dismiss the games that I wouldn't consider in Circa. And I'm not going to give my five Circa picks out on this show either. Not that it really matters at this point. The last 2 weeks I haven't done very well. I think I'm 3-7 overall after my contest win. So that goes to show you how much of it is perspective and mentality. And it's more about you than it is the teams on the field. It's more about the decisions you're making every day and your mentality. Because obviously there was some expected regression for old Farley Betts after such a high, a celebration, everything that happened. Of course I didn't have the same mentality the next week. Now, if there was another week in the contest, I guarantee you I would have stuck with it, but I even wanted some respite, right? So as we move forward here, sticking with your mindset, sticking with what's been working is really important. Okay, let's get to these week 16 games. I'm not going to go over the Thursday night game because I'm recording this on Thursday, so I don't know what happened in that game yet. But I'm sharing this on Friday. So let's go right to Saturday. Texans at the Chiefs. The Texans were 2-point chalk a few days ago when we didn't know if Patrick Mahomes was going to play or not. We're pretty sure Patrick Mahomes is going to play. He is fully participating in practice. He's also going to get Hollywood Brown back for this game. Huge uptick, actually, for Kansas City in a passing game that hasn't been quite as potent as it has in the past. I mean, they're in the back half of the league in some of their stats passing-wise. But Houston hasn't looked sharp either. Houston kind of fortunate, again, to win that game last week. Miami didn't play that well offensively, but their defense was there. Houston's offense barely did anything. In the cold, at Kansas City, I could only consider the Chiefs in that game, and I don't think that's a bad circa pick either. I mean, the Chiefs at home, it's December. You know, things are starting to stack up against them. This is when they respond the most, right? Again, macro, not micro. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones. Like, these guys know how to win in these situations. And Houston just has not shown. Like, remember last year when Houston was totally surprising teams and, like, blowing them out? Even like good teams who were kind of sleeping on who the Texans were, like when the Texans went to Jacksonville and just throttled a divisional opponent on the road, like that's not who we're seeing this year. This is not the same Texans team. CJ Stroud is not getting protected well enough. And then that Kansas City defense looked unbelievable last week at Cleveland. Cleveland and Jameis Winston kind of feeling themselves heading into that one. Now Jameis Winston, after facing the Chiefs, is getting benched. So, you know, that's the Chiefs' defense effect. I think they're just as good as they've ever been, and they're getting better at the right time of year. That's what seems to happen there for the Kansas City Chiefs. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. I like Baltimore to win this game, but I would not play Baltimore minus six. It's just almost always been a close game. I mean, we had some seven-point wins by the Steelers in recent history, like last year, I believe in the playoffs, but you know, this is usually a really close game. Plus the fact that the Steelers lost last week, you got to feel like the Steelers are going to play much better after getting pretty humbled against the Eagles. The Eagles controlled that game. 10-minute drive to end that game, like, that's a pretty big stiff arm, you know, mentally to the Steelers. So usually when that kind of thing happens, you know, Mike Tomlin's going to have his boys ready. I love the Steelers at least to keep this game close for most of the game. But I also love the Ravens to respond after losing to the Steelers earlier this season. And now it's time for the Ravens, who can take grasp of this AFC North. If they beat the Steelers and they win out, they will win the AFC North, and they're at home. I've lived in Baltimore just a few years ago. That atmosphere when the Steelers come to town is second to none. They will be ready. So look out. Another great game here, but I wouldn't look at either side because I kind of love both sides for different reasons. Cleveland and Cincinnati, I think you could easily make the argument that Cincinnati is going to cover this spread and that they should. I'm reluctant to jump on that because of how poorly they've performed against the spread, because of how poor their defense has been. But again, if the Chargers win on Thursday night, like if you're listening to this and you're in Circa and you didn't put in your picks yet, hopefully, and the Chargers won on Thursday, the Bengals have a very clear path to the playoffs. Denver just needs to lose in week 18, and the Bengals need to win out. It's not the easiest schedule for the Bengals, but they just need to win out. And they lost to the Browns earlier this season, so this is a revenge game. We saw a very similar thing happen with the Bengals last season. Joe Burrow is playing unbelievably well. So I could only look at Cincinnati here. I'm not going to take Dorian Thompson, whatever, starting at quarterback against the Bengals. But 7.5 is what I'm seeing out there in the marketplace. And by the way, I'm not going to refer to Circa lines. I'm going to refer to what I'm seeing in the marketplace because that's going to apply to more of you out there. But at 7.5, I mean, that's a tough line to take, but I strongly lean Cincinnati. Strongly lean Atlanta, too, despite the fact that Michael Penix Jr. is going to see his first game in the NFL. I was bullish about him before the even preseason started, and I'm still bullish. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback in the NFL. One, because of his mentality. He's very poised. He's very calm. And two, he's got the arm. I mean, his arm talent is exceptional. He's very accurate. He's a professional. He's started many, many games in college. Like, he's a seasoned starter. So this is a quarterback who has all the ingredients, in my opinion, to be really good. The Giants are giving up on their season. They have the worst quarterback room in the NFL. And Drew Locke, who's going to start this weekend, he's banged up still anyway. The Giants' two best defensive players are out. So I'm convincing myself to maybe take Atlanta. 8.5 to 9 points is a lot for a newcomer quarterback, but it does make sense. Detroit and Chicago, I'm going to just avoid this one. I'm expecting Chicago to wake up here eventually and like put out a nice product before the end of the season. Just because they have enough talent on the field and Caleb Williams is better than what he's shown. But I'm not going to take them against the Lions after the Lions lost straight up and allowed, 48 points to the Bills. Like, I'm not taking them this week. And I'm also not going to take the Lions because they're on the road and the injuries are just too much at this point. I mean, David Montgomery is out now too. Good Lord. Lots of injuries for the Lions. So that's a stay away for me. Tennessee and Indianapolis is interesting. And here's why. Yeah, the Colts are at home. The Colts play better at home. But the Colts are still rolling out Anthony Richardson. And this is obviously a dead season for them now. And we see, I mean, we saw sort of the everything just kind of fall apart last Sunday, right? I was sitting at Circa in one of the recliners that I got thanks to the fabulous people who worked there because they knew I was coming to town. And I'm watching, and it looks like the Colts are out completely, actually, outplaying their opponent on Sunday. Denver at Denver, but then so many mistakes, right? 6 turnovers. I mean, that it's just an operation I don't trust. Meanwhile, the Titans are getting lambasted by the media. Brian Callahan's team is being called soft. That's the opposite of what he wants his team to be. And they're not going to play Will Levis. Mason Rudolph is going to play with who I think is an upgrade, and you can make an argument is a significant upgrade. Because he takes care of the ball much better than Will Levis. And he has good experience, right? He played for Pittsburgh for almost a full season in his past. Mason Rudolph is a professional quarterback. He's not going to win you a Super Bowl. But Tennessee has something to prove. This is a divisional game, +3.5. I do like Tennessee. And odds are they will be a circuit pick for me. Arizona and Carolina. I could only look Carolina's way in this one. Arizona's so up and down. I played against Arizona last week, and I lost on that one. I'm probably not going to play this just because Arizona keeps burning me. But the problem with Carolina being this much of an underdog at home is that Arizona doesn't get a good enough pass rush for me to suggest that Bryce Young is going to be under a lot of turmoil again. Bryce Young has actually been protected very well recently, except for last week. The Cowboys destroyed him. The Cowboys defense really stepped up. Think it could look a lot different outside in the cold. Kyler Murray already saying he doesn't like that. And their defense is good, not great. And they don't get to the quarterback enough. I think Bryce Young is going to return to form and look like the quarterback that he has for the past month before last week's game. And if you're getting 4.5, 5, the only side I can look here is Carolina. I just need to convince myself because I've been getting a burn betting against or on Arizona in the last few weeks. Philadelphia and Washington, on the one hand, it's like very clear, right? Philadelphia is like a juggernaut right now. Don't want to step in front of Philadelphia. I think they could annihilate the Commanders at home. Like, hey, by the way, we're still the kings of this division. Like another humbling. They already beat him once this year. It wasn't an annihilation, but they beat him. But now it's at Washington. And if you look at seasons past, even before Washington obviously had Jaden Daniels, they played the Eagles closely. Like even when they sucked and the Eagles were going to the Super Bowl, Washington played them closely. There's something in this matchup that's not great for Philly. I want to go against that and just play Philly against the spread. That's the only side I could look at, but I'm reluctant because Washington is feisty in these spots, but Washington just hasn't looked as crisp the last few weeks. Look at their stats. Look at the product that they're putting out there on both sides of the ball. Jaden Daniels too, just not jumping off the screen in the same way. Maybe his ribs are still hurting him. I don't love it for Washington, but I probably won't play Philly because of recent history in that matchup. Rams and the Jets, not going to touch it. I'm watching this documentary about Aaron Rodgers. I like him a little bit more, actually, after watching that documentary. He's a football guy at heart. Was always very passionate. You can see the passion is still in him. Him and Davante Adams are playing well. Like, I know pros probably like the Jets a lot this weekend, Rams across the country. But the Rams are playing well, too. I had the 49ers last week, and I got burned in a similar spot with the Rams. So reluctant to play on this one. Very, very unlikely that I will. But I could only look disgustingly to the Jets, which is probably why I'm not going to play it. Okay. Minnesota and Seattle. I mentioned this at the top of the show. Look at Minnesota's past few performances. They played well against the Bears, but last week was more about the Bears. They played well against the Falcons at home, but that score was tied at 21-21 heading into the fourth quarter. And then the floodgates just opened up. Too many mistakes by the Falcons, way too many turnovers, way too many penalties. That game was more about the Falcons' flaws. Minnesota and the Cardinals. Minnesota and Arizona. I guess I should say, again, Arizona vastly outgaining Minnesota in that game, but Minnesota wins by 1 point. Nice drive at the end of the game, but Arizona probably should have won. The week before that, another really close game with the Bears. The week before that, closer than it should be game against the Titans. The Vikings are due to trip. And listen, Seattle hasn't looked crisp either. They haven't always put out their best performance on the field. But Seattle at home, second week in a row, NFC West in contention. They're now in second. They need to step up. This is a 3-point game, in my opinion. Nobody knows what's going to ultimately happen. But it's one of my strongest positions of the week. I'm just going to group these two together. I'm not going to touch the Buffalo and Green Bay games. Buffalo and Green Bay, both 14-point favorites. Buffalo's hosting the Patriots. The Packers are hosting the Saints on Monday Night Football. I would only look at the favorites, if I'm being honest. But it's also a pretty decent letdown game. But can there be a letdown at this point in the season with the playoffs looming, with the Bills still a chance to take the number one seed, with the Packers competing for that wild card? Maybe in their mind, there's something higher to compete for. Probably not, right? Because the Vikings and the Lions only have two losses. But the Packers look sensational. But do they care about the Saints at home? Also, the Saints are going to have Spencer Rattler. It's a really tough position for the rookie. Not games I'm going to touch. Now, usually these huge spreads, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to, pull the trigger. But I just situationally don't love those two spots. Jacksonville and Vegas, not going to even talk about it. Can't do it. Two teams I can't trust. San Francisco and Miami, very even teams, in my opinion, at this point in the season. Not going to touch it. Not going to talk about it. Tampa Bay and Dallas is interesting because on the one hand, you see the market is giving some love to Dallas. And you say, what do you mean love to Dallas? They're 4-point dogs at home, Chris. I know, but they still have a backup quarterback. And if you look at their defensive performances lately, okay, last week against the Panthers, they played really well. Okay, a few weeks ago against the Giants, on Thanksgiving, actually, they played really well. But look at when they faced tougher teams, like real offenses, the Bengals, the Texans, the Eagles, the 49ers. I mean, even the Commanders to an extent. These are all teams that gained way well into the 300s, some in the 400s, put up points. I wouldn't be jumping to conclusions that the Dallas defense is suddenly very good again. It's Cooper Rush. Also, like, he's going to make mistakes. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like, you kind of have to consider them. I mean, it's all there, right? The stats say they're top six offense in every category. We're talking points per game, yards per game, third down, fourth down conversion, red zone touchdown conversion rate. This is a very good offense. Mike Evans still playing very good football. Bucky Irving, an explosive new running back that's working out really well for them. And two trenches on offense and defensive lines that are very good, exceptional in many ways. So the Bucs are feeling themselves. The Bucs are trying to cash their ticket to win the NFC South and get onto the playoffs again. And it's not a shock anymore. It's not a surprise. This is a good Tampa Bay team, believe it or not. And of course, Dallas has only won one game at home, by the way, all season against the New York Giants, the worst team in the NFL. So I can only look at the Tampa Bay Bucs, believe it or not. Road chalk. But I think it's right. And I think they probably win by a touchdown. Thank you all so much for listening once again. It feels great to be back on Laying the Points with Farley Betts. We're nice and short every single week. We're going to keep it under 30 minutes. Hey, if you get a chance, I'm going to be on Let's Bet with Scott Pritchard, who just started this show, and he's already getting a ton of views because he's a very well-respected bettor in our community. Over 30 years doing this thing, a lot of contest wins, a lot of success. And I'm very honored and humbled to be on his show. I'll be on there live tomorrow in Vegas. I won't be in Vegas, but that's where his show is. So check out Let's Bet with Scott Pritchard if you can. Of course, my other connections and gigs at sportmoney.com, at PicksWise, and I'll be with you here every single week at Laying the Points with Farley Betts as we end this NFL season and get into the playoffs. And then maybe we could talk about some NBA basketball after that. We'll see. We'll see if I can put up with that damn NBA product much longer. I don't know, man. Sometimes it's rough. With that, happy holidays, everybody, because I won't talk to you before Christmas and all these things happen. Enjoy it with your family. Take a break. Do not ruin your holidays putting down too many units, too much money in these zany, crazy leagues. Enjoy it. Rest. Be with your family. And I will see you next week here Laying the Points with Farley Betts. But good luck with all your wagers.